we present Two-Way Cut by Peter Turnbull, dramatized from the original novel by Stephen Mulrein. It's a quiet night in Glasgow. Police Constable Hamilton is on his beat on Maryhill Road when, a slave to nicotine, he decides it's time for a smoke. Moving on to a piece of waste ground for his unofficial break, he makes a discovery. Two-Way Cut.
And you'll be an engineer, rosary ski, and away you resort. Just a hobby thought. Oh, God, you'll be on the hobby snowing. Just let me get in. Where's the keys? Where have I put them? Where have I put my keys?
Open, open, Joseph, open the door. Come on, hurry up, I forgot my keys. Oh, come on, son, for God's sake, let me in.
Mrs. McIntyre, what's the matter?
It's all right, I've got your keys, it's okay.
Here, come on, I'll see you in. Where on earth have you been this time? You're like a drowned rat. You think you've been swimming in the canal? It's all right, come on, I'll help you get these wet things off you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Betty. I don't know what I'd do without you. My man's doing you, is he?
God, you're so
tight, too. I'm trying, Sarge. It's just... I'm trying to think.
It's all right, son. Take your time.
Well, not running, I don't think. More like scurrying, you know?
Scurrying?
Yeah, it's not running like a marathon runner or anything. Short steps. Just scurrying along the towpath. And sort of hunched up shoulders.
Did you shout after him?
No, Sarge. Too far away by then.
Did you go after him? Or her, I suppose it could be.
Well, I didn't think I should leave the corpse. I did radio the information to the panda car.
Yeah, I know. They didn't see anything.
Well, Sergeant, as you said, a formality. He's most certainly dead.
Yes, it's a formality worth to observe, though. Thanks anyway, Mr. Dean. I'll ask the pathologist to get in there.
And I'll go back to the station and write my report. Good night, Sergeant.
Good night, sir. Right, lad. We'll give Dr. Reynolds his early morning call now. 3:45 a.m. He'll like that. Meanwhile, you can finish cordoning off the body. I'll radio in for a few more PCs to post around the site till we've got the men for a proper sweep. See what else you can remember.
Right, Sarge.
Oh, by the way, Hamilton, this is a bit off your beat, isn't it?
Well,
fly smoke. Naughty, naughty. You never know what you'll find.
You can say that again, Sarge.
Hello, Reynolds here. That's all right. Queen's Cross, the gaps, I guess. I'll be there. Are you serious? Right. As soon as I can.
David.
It's all right. Go back to sleep.
What's the time?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
David.
It's 4:15. I go back to sleep, Janet. I won't go long. A routine call.
Well, Dr. Reynolds, what do you think?
Odd sense of humour, eh?
Sorry?
Well, whoever put the head on the chest, I think it took an odd sense of humour to do that. But I'm only a pathologist, not a psychiatrist, thank God.
Indeed, sir.
So, what do we have? One male Caucasian, age between 30 and 50, head separated from trunk. I'll be able to say for certain later, but the bone splinters indicate that the head was hacked off.
I don't see how else. Sorry, sir, I didn't mean to
sound... That's quite all right, Sergeant. I simply meant hacked as opposed to sawn, see. Hey, Constable.
Sir.
I wonder if you could shine your torch just here, near my hand. That's it. Yes, look. You see? The bones of the neck, the spinal column, have been severed quite neatly. But the minor bones and the tissue around the throat are both a little more tattered. Constable, you could just hold the beam steady. Thank you.
Sorry, sir.
Yes, I would say that one blow killed him outright, coming from the rear. managed very nearly to carry his head off, see? And the look of shock on his face is significant, I think. He wasn't expecting it. Not like a guillotine victim, for example. And he was alive and conscious when the blow was struck.
Not drugged?
No, alive and kicking, I'd say. And no other indication of injury. No, nothing I can see in these conditions anyway. I wouldn't be able to say for certain till I get him back to the lab.
What about Timodessa?
Well, slight stiffening, that's all. Ground temperature is low. Can we have a bit of light here, Constable? 3 degrees. I didn't think it was as cold as that. Thank you. Yes, I would say he was cooled about 6 hours ago.
About 10 o'clock yesterday evening?
Possibly. I'd also hazard a guess he was brought here soon after that because the body seems to have been laid out. In fact, he has been laid out on his back.
Arms by his sides and legs together.
That's something you can only do with a fresh corpse.
Could he have been killed here, sir?
Could he?
That's a possibility. I'll throw for indications of a possible locus in the lab. Do you know when it started raining tonight? Oh, it doesn't matter. The Met Office will be able to tell us exactly. No. No, the ground underneath him was as wet as everywhere else. Now, it occurred to me that if it had been dry, and we knew when the rain started, we might have some idea of when it was brought here. Well, Sergeant, that clue isn't available to us. Do we know him, incidentally?
No, sir, we haven't identified him.
Well dressed, anyway. No wallet, checkbook.
Haven't touched anything yet, sir.
I see. Well, I can't really do much more here. I'll make my way to the infirmary if you care to bring him down. Oh, and please, a separate body bag for the head, please.
Hello, Phil. Mind if I join you? You look as if you've had a hard night.
Don't tell me. You haven't seen the report.
Well,
I knew you should have given these up. There I am. Mary Hill, quiet as the grave. I'll have a quick drag, I think. Just duck onto this gap site.
And the rest is history. You sure you're feeling okay? Another coffee?
No, I'm okay. Once the Sarge arrived and got us into the routine, I'm fine.
Is Ray still at the locust?
No, he's gone down to the GRI, I think. For the post-mortem. He reckoned the best thing would be to finish my shift. Just a normal night bind. You know the funny thing, Ilka? Coming back along Great Western Road just after 5. I couldn't even see that. That thing. Just kept thinking about the birds. The dawn chorus. How they don't start at dawn at all. Well, like 3 o'clock.
You've got one already lit, Phil.
Oh.
So, here we go. April 1st. By the way, I hope this wasn't a lark, Sergeant.
No, sir. Pardon.
Anyway, male Caucasian, unknown identity, head severed completely from the body by one major blow from behind, separation completed by a series of blows with a sharp instrument.
Possibly a cleaver.
All that sort of thing. Eyes open, indicating the victim conscious at the time of death. No apparent injury to the head, other than the damage to the vertebrae and the neck and throat tissue. I'll have the clothing sent over to forensic. Would you like to check the pockets an hour later?
No, please.
Yes, there's no other indication of injury. I will test for poisoning later, of course, but cause of death appears to be the obvious one. You find anything, Sergeant?
No, sir.
Ah, that's bad luck.
On time of death, sir?
Oh, yes.
I estimate death occurred somewhere between 10 p.m. and midnight yesterday, given that he was left clothed and under a sheet at around 3 degrees Celsius.
Well, at least we have a time of death. Can we ask our forensic assistant to attend here and lift the fingerprints?
Oh, certainly. Don't think we're booked this morning.
I'll phone them now if you don't mind, before I see D.I. Donoghue.
Oh, yes. Well, kicking it about, isn't that the expression?
Right then, Ray, let's kick it about.
Now, you don't mind us?
No, not at all.
So, we have a man murdered on our patch. Attacked from the rear with a razor sharp. Cleaver killed outright. Murdered in a locus as yet unknown, right?
So it seems.
And his body carried to the place where it was found by P.C. Hamilton. What was Hamilton doing on the waste ground anyway? Having a smoke. Fingerprints?
No, Bothell handed them to the collator. Nothing in our files. They've been sent down the wire to Hendon. No feedback yet.
Bit early in the piece to expect it, I suppose.
They're probably overloaded. Seems it's been a busy weekend up and down the kingdom. We'll just have to take our place in the queue.
Ah, have we swept the ground?
Yes, sir, as soon as daylight permitted. The rain prevented us taking plaster cast, but that would have been difficult anyway. It's mainly rubble, very little soil.
Mm-hmm. And what about his clothing?
That's the forensic lab now, sir. Allowing for morning coffee to get the brains into gear, we could expect a return in the clothes by midday.
Montgomery will pick it up.
Sooner than that, I would hope. I take it we don't know him from missing persons or mugshots of the local felons. Ready? Yes, I know. Anyway, get a scene of crimes officer down to the infirmary to photograph the head, and soon, please. Now, who else is on the day shift in CID?
Abernethy, sir.
Fair enough. Put him on to identifying the deceased from the photograph. If he concentrates on, well, what would you say, Ray? 25 to 50-year-olds? That should give us a wide enough margin. Shouldn't be more than about 14 volumes. Keep him occupied for an hour or two. What's Abernethy got on at the moment?
Well, burglaries, one aggravated, willful fire-raising, usual gamut of car thefts, few junkies caught in possession that won't tell us the names of the supplier.
Oh, no, no, would I? Once you've grasped in the drug business, you're safe nowhere, not even in the slammer.
One or two other cases as well, sir, but that's all I can recall. This file's battle-digging like everybody else's. I take it you want this to have some priority.
Yes, I think so. If this is underworld rough justice, he was probably up to his oxters in something heavy. Now, carried from the locus of the offence and laid out under a sheet with his head on his chest. Personal effects removed to hinder identification. And professional topping?
Sir, certainly looks like that, sir.
Mm-hmm. You know what suggests this is maybe not a professional job? I mean, I'm just kicking it about, Ray. But what do you think about the way the body was left on waste ground beside a busy road junction, Any ideas? It could be organized crime meeting out its own justice, but it's messy. And they generally go to great lengths to hide the body. Like that flyover at the Kingston Bridge that's forever been resurfaced. I think there's a grain of truth that it's due to unsound foundations.
Cadavers in the concrete.
It wouldn't be the first time. That's what's puzzling about this. It's too loud to be underworld, don't you think? The boy that pulled this stunt twisted a state hospital number. It's the sort of case that makes our job difficult.
If not impossible.
If you wanted me to sum it up in one word, Mr. Montgomery, I'd say clean. Or maybe even sanitized. Everything appears to be either new, just out of the packet, or else dry cleaned.
Everything? You mean the clothing was put on the body after death? On the corpse?
Mr. Montgomery, there isn't a trace of blood on any of these garments. Not even his shirt collar.
That's unbelievable. And nothing on him, of course, to help identify.
This was in the waistcoat pocket. Might be gold dust.
Where is it?
Here, you'll need some magnification.
Something. Hotel Saltcoats. Aunt,
Ardmore, is it? Ardmore Hotel Silcoats?
Yes, the ballpoint's only just survived the dry cleaning, but it's obviously a receipt. No date, but at least you'll know where he's been.
Yeah. Apart from a gap sight and Mary Help.
Here, Sergeant.
Thanks, Yelka.
My pleasure. You look done in. Donahue give you a hard time?
Oh, not too bad, but two pipes worth, I reckon. You know, every time I see that big glass ashtray of his, I remember Montgomery, I think it was, saying to him, "All you need now, sir, is some tap water and a couple of gold." He gets his tobacco specially made up in that place in Queen Street, some sort of Dutch mixture. Doesn't make you homesick?
No, not homesick. Speaking of which, will I see you later? I'm on till six, barring unforeseens.
Yeah, I'd like that. I'll try and get some sleep, I think, before the upstairs weirdos switch on the music centre. Wouldn't it be so bad if you could hear the music, but all you get is the bass notes through the ceiling.
You're still having problems with the hot water?
Well, the landlord only switches it on in the mornings between 7 and 8, I think, which is not a lot of use to copper shifts. I'll take a run over to Rotherham later, pick up a few things.
Will your wife be at home?
Oh, yes, ready and waiting. Her hour of triumph. I've some clothes to collect, that's all.
You don't have to go back to that bedsit, Ray. You know that.
I know. Look, I need some time, Elka.
Well, I'll see you later. Maybe around 7. And bring a toothbrush anyway.
Dr. Reynolds. This is a pleasant surprise. Would you like some coffee?
No thanks, Inspector. I'm on my way up to the Western, and I thought I'd give you the latest on our decapitated friend. Is Sergeant Sussex at home?
Yes. He's on the graveyard shift this week. Have you found anything else?
Well, just a little more. There's nothing new in the cause of death. Now, what's interesting is that the body was cleaned. There isn't a trace of blood anywhere on it. To tell you the truth, Inspector, I'm surprised I didn't remark on it earlier, but in a death of this kind, there would be a massive amount of blood spilled, of course. I mean, if I had a sharp enough weapon to take your head off in one swing, the next pump of your heart would send up a geyser of blood 15 feet into the air. And yet there's not a trace on the body.
Yes, our forensic scientist, Dr. Kay, said pretty much the same thing about his clothes. With the exception of the suit, which was apparently dry cleaned, everything else was brand new, and by her reckoning must have been placed on the deceased after death.
Now, that would fit in with my own finding that the body had been washed, probably with industrial alcohol. There's hardly a trace of grime in the pores. It's normal procedure that corpses are washed, but in this case it's as though it's been done for us.
That's strange, isn't it?
Well, a headless corpse at the edge of Maryhill Road isn't exactly a common place to start with. Now, the other point, of course, is that the locus of this crime will have been left in a very bloody mess.
Unless it was cleaned up like the corpse.
Well, that's your department, Inspector. You'll have my report in writing later today, with any luck. Oh, I've also given some thought to his age. Nothing very scientific, but I'd say he was in his 40s. A man who lived well, but healthily. Yes, he wasn't a manual labourer. His hands are soft and fleshy. Probably never picked up anything heavier than a pen in the course of his working day. And he'd eaten a meal about an hour or two before he was slain. Contents, gelatinous in texture, some rice, some partially masticated white meat, some vegetable matter that turned out to be water chestnuts. Also some stringy stuff that had me foxed for a while, but I eventually came to the conclusion that...
Bamboo shoots?
Yes, a Chinese meal, exactly. You stole my punchline, Inspector.
Well, it's not often I get the chance. You said he was healthy.
Yes, in very good health, in fact. A lot of men in their 40s, restaurant eaters especially, show some deterioration in their kidneys and liver.
From alcohol.
In some cases, they're shot to hell already. Now, this chap was as clean as a whistle. In fact, it's a shame he didn't have a kidney donor card on his person. We could have used those organs.
So, clean living, but good living.
Uh-huh. And I'll be taking casts of his teeth, too, rather than amputating the jaw.
Oh, yes, I'd prefer you didn't amputate. We might still have to ask the next of kin to identify the body. God knows it'll be difficult enough for them.
Anyway, I'll send the cast to the School of Dentistry. They might be able to match them against records.
Yes.
He was certainly no stranger to dental treatment.
Yes, that might be helpful. We're clutching at straws, to tell you the truth, and I'd like to have something of substance to discuss with the chief. I'd like his approval for a poster, I think. But so far we've got a file of bulging with photographs, and that's about it.
Well, Inspector, for what it's worth, I think he'd had the attentions of a dental hygienist very recently, within the past week.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth are very clean. They've obviously been scaled. Do you really want to know what this does?
Indeed, I do, sir.
Oh, fine. Anyway, I think the treatment was recent because there are still some small lesions in the gums from the work.
Yes.
And also some fragments of plaque in the back crevices of his mouth. Well, they've not been removed by the suction pipe or the mouthwash. They're doing no harm, of course, but in a few days they would have been caught up in food and swallowed.
And by your reckoning, that would put the treatment within 7 days?
At the outside. Ah, that's just me covering myself. Off the record, I'd say 3 days was a better bet. Today's Monday. Dentists like to work a 5-day week, at least mine does. Keeps his golf handicap down.
So that would indicate treatment on Friday last?
Well, that would be my guess, but I don't want to encroach on your territory.
Oh, encroach as much as you like, sir.
Well, even if the dentist in question does have a Saturday surgery, it's likely to be full of school kids or chaps who can't get time off work. And I would have said that the deceased was the sort of man who can organise his own time.
So, the deceased had a dental appointment 3 days ago.
It's a reasonable assumption. Or a wild guess. Anyway, I'll head on up to the Western now. You'll have the bones of all that in writing no later than tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Dr. Reynolds.
My pleasure, Inspector Donahue. As always.
Hello, Abernethy.
Sir.
D.I. Donahue. There's another little job I'd like you to do. Yellow pages this time. Dentists.
Dentists?
Yes. First of all, check if they had a dental hygienist surgery on Friday last, and if so, did they perhaps treat a patient answering to our man's description? Older, middle age, middle class? I'm not sure if I'd bother with not of this town.
Right, sir.
Ray, you old softy tulips.
Well, it's practically your national emblem, isn't it?
That deserves a kiss. Gotcha. I thought you might have slept in. You couldn't have had much of a rest.
Well, the heavy metal doesn't start till 6 as a rule. I just hope the guy upstairs hangs on to his job, whatever it is.
I'll turn it down a bit, shall I?
No, it's fine by me.
Grab a pew and I'll fix us some coffee. Have you had anything to eat since this morning, I mean?
No, I would have had some soup at midday, but the phantom seems to have struck again.
Oh, really?
Yep. Cans pilfered and a bite taken out of my cheese. Not a piece cut off. An honest to God bite. I mean, what's the world coming to, okay? They'll even steal off a cock.
Well, I suppose you could always check his dental records.
Cheeky.
Well, hunger's good sauce, isn't that what you say? I hope you like nasi goreng, because if you don't, I'm afraid it's beans on toast.
Smells lovely. What is it? National dish?
No, that's mountain goat stew, didn't you know? It's Indonesian, actually. Like a lot of Dutch cooking. Now, coffee.
How was the trip to Rutherglen? Was your wife at home?
Yeah, and Sammy, and one of his obnoxious friends. Team handy, as they say. I just collected my stuff and left. The raincoat, now we're coming into the good weather. Some other things I'd forgotten. All this at my age. Honest to God, Elka, I'm in a mess. I feel I've been cheated.
Hey, come on, old Sussex. Cheer up. I've no room in my life for self-pitying whims, just for men who can square up to their problems. Okay, Mopey?
Yeah, thanks. You know I'm still on the night shift.
Oh. So no toothbrush. Oh, well. And I'm on nights next week. Actually, I don't mind it that much, especially if it's quiet. I drop in for a coffee at the bus depot or the fire station. It's not bad with a city center beat. There's always somewhere you can go out of the rain, take the weight off your feet for a while.
I'm not sure I should be listening to this, WPC Films.
The rest of the time you're just walking the streets, shining your torch into odd corners.
Oh, God. Like poor Phil Hamilton.
Yes. I think we need something a little stronger than coffee.
Could you tell me if you had a dental hygienist surgery on Friday or possibly Thursday of last week?
No, I'm afraid we didn't. Mr. Brownlee does these on Wednesdays and Mr. Perry's on holiday.
Right. Thanks very much for your help. Goodbye.
Hello, dental surgery.
Hello, this is P Division Police at Charing Cross here. We're making inquiries...
A good, long soak. Aye, that's what I need. A good, long, hot, clean everything. That's what they do, all the time. When they've been raped. Aye, a good scrub. A good, hard... scrub tap to toe. We had good hard scrubbing brush. Get rid of it. Get rid of the dirt, the filth, clean. Get rid of the blood and the dirt and the blood. And burn it. Take it someplace and burn it. Get rid of it. Oh, Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your sins be, they shall be as white as snow. Oh God, I couldn't. It's not my fault. Take it someplace and burn it. Take her someplace. Take her someplace as white as snow. As white as snow. Oh my God.
In the first part of Two-Way Cut, the part of Mrs. McIntyre was played by Edith Ruddick, Mrs. Douglas by Joyce Faulkner, and Police Constable Hamilton by Martin McCarthy, Detective Sergeant Sussex, Jake Darcy, Police Constable Abernethy, Andrew Conlon, Dr. Reynolds, Gerard Slevin, Jean Kay, Rebecca Hawking, Elka Willems, Eliza Langland, Detective Inspector Donahue, Crawford Logan, Detective Constable Montgomery, Frank Gallagher, and Louise by Anne-Marie Timoney. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Technical presentation was by Tommy Anderson, Graham Taylor, and Andrea Cunningham. Two-Way Cut was written by Peter Turnbull, dramatized by Stephen Mulrine, and directed on location in Glasgow and in our Glasgow studios by Hamish Wilson.